Welcome to the Earth Mystery Show here on KVMR.
Well, thank you.
And you're in Florida right now, right, at home?
Actually, I'm in Georgia.
Georgia?
Yeah, I was supposed to be in Florida for the weekend, but I'm home in Augusta, Georgia.
All right. Well, I met Joey Korn at the Acres Subtle Energy Conference in Phoenix a couple of months ago, and right after that conference, we had Phil Callahan on the show. Everybody likes him, and I'm sure they'll like your work. Joey is a dowser, among other things. He's written a book called Dowsing, A Path to Enlightenment, and he has an interesting website. I'm going to give your website, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It's http://dowsers.com, D-O-W-S-E-R-S, dowsers.com. You have music on your site. That was interesting. A lot of times when you turn to someone's webpage, you don't get music. You got music on yours and a lot of interesting links. One of the links was to Walter Russell, and I know that Walter Russell was a great big influence on your life. So before I even start talking about dowsing and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to ask you to tell us a bit about Walter Russell.
Walter Russell was a cosmic illuminate. He died in the 60s, but he did more to affect our world than most people know of, because most people have never heard of him. But he lived his life as an example to mankind that we all have genius inherent within us. And he proved that with only a fourth grade education. He became a master painter, sculptor, musician, composer, architect, author. He wrote many books. He was, as an architect, he conceived the ideas of the penthouse, the duplex, the quadruplex, the studio apartment, and the cooperative apartment building, which is the forerunner to the condo. And he was a master equestrian. He brought figure skating to America. And as a scientist, he actually discovered the transuranium elements, the elements beyond uranium on the elemental chart that they eventually made the bomb out of. And all this knowledge came to him through prayer and meditation. In other words, he would just set his desire for what he wanted to learn, and he would master every talent. And he wasn't a dowser, but he didn't need dowsing tools to see the light that was everywhere around us. What we explore, with dowsing, we explore the subtle energies that are everywhere around us. He could see that. And he was just this incredible man, and his work, I was led to his work, or his work was led to me, I guess you'd call it that, by a vision that I had in 82. And I was on what I call the quest for the blue books for 2.5 years, because I saw these books on a bookshelf, his books. But I didn't know who he was. I knew it was a man that had written these books that would tie all my seemingly separate understandings together that I'd been garnering through the years through a series of mystical experiences that I had. And I finally found those books. And now I'm a distributor of the Russell books. I probably sell more Russell books now than anybody in the world.
And how would someone get hold of these books from you?
Well, they can certainly call me, or use my website. I have a page dedicated to Russell. Joey@dowsers.com would get me through email. And my phone number is 706-733-0204. But Russell continues to inspire me through his writings, and I feel that he's sort of a guide of mine, you know? And it's amazing the man's, the message that he delivered to mankind through his books back in the, you know, it came to him in the 20s. And he began releasing his books in 1946.
Sounds like a contemporary Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah, really, definitely. They called it the modern-day Leonardo.
They called Fuller that, too, many times. I was wondering how, through prayer and meditation or through any kind of dowsing or anything else, would somebody discover transuranium elements with a fourth grade education?
Because he understood how the universe was created. He understood what we now call sacred geometry. He called it wave geometry. He felt that he called God the universal one. And he could see, for example, go to an atom and see an atom and understand the makeup of an atom without a microscope. And he could go to the farthermost star without a telescope. And he felt that God revealed to him during 39 days and nights when he was 49 years old in 1921. He was in what he called the full illumination. And he felt that God revealed to him how the entire universe was created. and he saw it, and he understood not only each of the elements, but he understood why they were, their purpose. And he devised in that time, in those 39 days, he devised his own periodic chart, which was based on the vortex or the spiral, the double spiral. And he put all the elements on this, his own periodic chart, and mathematically he knew we had errors in our current chart at the time, the Mendeleev chart, and also mathematically he knew that the transuranium elements had to exist. So he didn't dig them up. He just defined them.
Uh-huh.
And he released that world, that information to the scientific community in 1926 in a scientific treatise that he sent out to the world's leading scientists and physicists, but he was never given credit for that work, for his discoveries, because he was considered a heretic.
What led up to his enlightenment, to that 39 days?
Well, since he was 7 years old, every May, he was born in May, and every May since he was 7 years old, he would enter an exalted state. And even at 7 years old, he knew it had to do with God. And every time it would last a couple of weeks typically, and he would just go off into the woods, even as a child, for, you know, days at a time, and be alone with nature and with God. And every time this happened, he would get these great understandings. And he called these partial illuminations. And he says, we don't want full illumination. As spiritual seekers, we tend to want it all. You know, we want it all at once.
Too much is always better than not enough.
Well, he says we don't want it all at once. He says when we get fully in the light, it can just burn us out. And like he was totally severed from his body for many days during that 39 days and nights. And it was all he could do to come back. In fact, he didn't want to come back. He felt that God, it's sort of like you hear from the people that have near-death experiences. It's so wonderful on the other side, they don't want to come back.
Uh-huh.
And he felt God told him that he had to come back to deliver this message to mankind. And he delivered it, not only the scientific stuff, but a beautiful philosophy. The core message is in two books called The Message of the Divine Iliad. And in that time, 30,000 words came through him. And he drew hundreds of charts and graphs and illustrations. And his family tried to have him committed because they thought he was crazy. He was locked up in one of his hotel rooms that he had built in New York, and for all that time. And they sent in a lawyer and a psychiatrist to get him committed. And they came back out and said that he certainly isn't crazy. If anything, they said something like he's out the road Thoreau in his writings. And, you know, they saw something amazing was happening.
If one was to get into Walter Russell and wanted to learn about him, what would be the best book to order?
The first book is, the introductory book is a little hardback book called The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe. And not only is it his biography, but it has amazing knowledge, amazing teachings, just in this little book, this little hardback book. And it's only $5 for this. That's always been like the introduction to the Russell. That's what draws most people to the Russell teachings.
Who's that written by?
By Glenn Clark. He was a famous author and biographer at the time. He also wrote the book, The Man Who Talks with the Flowers, about George Washington Carver.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people really, some people find Russell's work through reading, you know, they just want to read everything by Glenn Clark. He was a really good author.
Well, I'll ask this again during the show.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a number that people can call if they want to order that book.
Oh, that's me.
Right.
706-733-0204.
733-0204. And it's area code 706.
706. Oh. And I have my favorite books up in my website with their prices. As a matter of fact, the prices have all come down recently because it's just to get the books out. They're very inexpensive books.
Give me your website one more time.
Dowsers.com.
That's what we said at the beginning of the show. But people drive around at lunchtime listening to the Earth Mystery Show, and often they don't have a pen or a pencil, and they call right after the show and say, what was that guy's name? What was that guy's number?
Right,
and
right.
So we try and repeat it a few times.
Dowsers.com. You spell Dowsers, by the way, D-O-W-S-E-R-S. Dowsers.com is real easy to remember.
Right.
And you just plug that in. You don't need the HTTP and all that stuff, or even the www. Usually you just plug it into your address field for the in the web browser. It'll take you right to my website.
Right. Let's just go back to the beginning. I think many of the Earth Mystery Show listeners know what dowsing is, but your book titled Dowsing, A Path to Enlightenment, most people think dowsing is witching for water. So
right.
let's start at the beginning. What is dowsing?
Well, dowsing is using tools, actually using your body, but you externalize it to tools, using tools to tune in to subtle energies that are everywhere around us. The old-time dowsers, all they looked for was water, and then they expanded to minerals. And but once we realized that we weren't dowsing the physicalness of the water or the mineral that we were looking for, and we were actually dowsing the energy of the water, the energy field of the water. And since everything is energy, ultimately, our scientists tell us that today, everything is, Russell would say, everything is light. And since everything is energy, you tune in with your mind, you set your intent on what you want to find with dowsing, and you can literally find anything with dowsing. But my work is really not, is more about the power of prayer than it is about dowsing. That's why I call it a path to enlightenment. What with dowsing, you can immediately, this is what makes my work unique in the dowsing field, you can immediately verify and validate the power of prayer. What I do is I teach people to find the what's called beneficial and detrimental energies in our living environment. We all have them everywhere around us. Energies that you can find with dowsing, they're like beams of light. And you can find them with dowsing, and some of them are detrimental to us. They weaken us. They shrink our, they weaken our energy fields and weaken our physical bodies, and that can be demonstrated through dowsing and also through muscle testing. And the beneficial energies strengthen us and expand our energy fields. And where my work comes in is that makes it unique, is that once we find those energies that are detrimental to us, and what you do is you set your intent on finding detrimental energies, and you walk forward. My favorite tools are L-rods, L-shaped pieces of wire. You point them ahead of you like guns, energy guns, you know?
Right.
And you walk forward, and you just say, show me underground stream, or show me detrimental energies or beneficial energies. And when they respond, my response is opening and pointing in opposite directions. You know, you found what you're looking for. And once you find detrimental energies that weaken us, and like I said, you can find these things all over. You say a little prayer, and that energy will transmute, the frequency will change to where it's resonant to your being rather than discordant to it.
Give us an example of the type of prayer you'd say.
Okay, my basic prayer, what I do is it begins the same and it ends the same. This prayer, by the way, can be used to change the energies in our living environment, to bring in new energies to support whatever you want to do in life, to charge your food with the life force, bring in healing, things like, and what you do is it begins the same and it ends the same, and in the middle you state your intent. And it's a very powerful, something very powerful about knowing about these energies, that they're involved in our lives, that they're involved in our prayers. And when you know that in your prayer and state that in your prayer, amazing things happen. It begins with, if it be thy will, and then I continue with, may the powers of nature converge to increase and enhance the beneficial energies and balance the detrimental energies. And then here's where I state my intent. I might say, to create a unique energy configuration within my being and in my living environment to bring healing and balance to my complete being, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, or to bring wealth and abundance into my life, or, you know, whatever, to change the detrimental energies in my living environment to be beneficial, or whatever. This is the intent part in the middle. It's like a prayer formula. And then I close with, for now and into the future, for as long as is appropriate, amen. Then it takes a little, not long, as few as seconds, as short a time as seconds and maybe a few minutes for these energies to change, depending on how much you've called for to happen at one time. And I use a pendulum to tell me when that work is done. The pendulum just gives me, I swing it, and it gives me a signal that I've programmed into my own work that it gives me a signal that the work is done. And it's amazing. You felt the energies, I guess you did, when I gave the talk in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
When I call for those energies to change around us, and anybody can do this, you can feel those changes. You can feel the energy. You can feel the energies when they leave, and you can feel the energies when they change, and you can feel the energies when they come in. It's amazing.
Given that we don't know the source of all these noxious energies, but you mentioned underground water streams or sometimes the crossing of underground streams,
mm-hmm.
Your intent, how long does that last or does it wear off? Because the stream usually isn't going anywhere.
Actually, Haynes, I'm beginning to feel that I'm beginning to scratch the surface as to how all these energies get here in the first place. What I think happens is that the Earth absorbs mankind's negativity and also our love, our positivity, if that's a word, the good stuff and the bad stuff. The Earth absorbs it, and rather than dispersing it evenly over the Earth, it follows along the electrical conductors, subtle electrical conductors in the Earth. One of those electrical conductors is streams. An underground stream carries a charge, carries an energy, and it can carry a negative energy, which would weaken us, and dowsers call those detrimental streams, or it can carry a beneficial energy, which strengthens us. And what most people that work with these energies don't realize is that we can simply change those energies by prayer. Like I said, dowsers would typically use, and all these methods work. They might hammer a rod into the ground as it flows into your house. The reason you don't want these energies, a lot of people think it makes you, they make you, not only do they weaken you, but they make you sick, and they can, a lot of people feel that they can cause cancer, especially if two underground streams intersect underneath your bed. That energy comes into your living environment. And in Germany, they call them Krebs crossings or crab crossings.
Right.
And but anyway, some of the other electrical conductors, subtle electrical conductors in the Earth, are called energy lays. And also there's something called Hartman and Curry grid lines. And all these energies can either be negative or positive, can either be strengthening or weakening. What else is interesting, you know how they say that EMFs that radiate from television screens and computer screens and high power wires and things like that are detrimental to us?
Uh-huh.
You can use a pair of L rods or any dowsing tool, and you can say, show me any detrimental energies coming from, say, this microwave oven. And then you approach it, and you'll get several reactions with your dowsing rods as you approach the microwave oven or the television screen or the computer screen. And if you've set your intent on finding detrimental energies, you'll get a response everywhere you cross a detrimental band in the energy field created by that appliance. There are devices you can buy that's supposed to block or neutralize those energies. But again, I just find, and this is what really astounds people in my workshops, you can pick up these energies with your rods, and then you say a prayer and ask that the energies be changed that are emanating from the appliance, that the energies change to be beneficial to you, and they do. You no longer get a response to be for detrimental energies, and you get a response for beneficial energies. We're not actually changing the physical appliance. We're changing the subtle energy, the subtle energy that's carried in the subtle energy field, in the energy field of the appliance, or in anything else that we're working with.
And that energy is obviously responsive to human thought.
Absolutely. I've found what I call two lights of the soul, and I've got an article up about this in the web. It's going to be in the next. It's going to be in the next edition of my book. But what I've found is, if you ask for beneficial energies that are actually intersecting a person's being, actually attached to a person, these would be similar to an energy lay, but these would be beams of energy that are attached to a person. I find everybody has two of them. You walk in a circle around a person, and everybody has two of them. I call this, again, the two lights of the soul. And if you can get a dowsing response to beneficial energy lays, then you can get a dowsing response to the two lights of the soul. If the person that you're dowsing doesn't seem to have these two lights, it just means that they're not sufficiently bright enough to be dowsed. The person can say a prayer to ask for energies to come in to bring healing and balance, or another person, somebody else can say prayer for that person, immediately those lights will brighten up enough to be down. So I call them, you get a little, quote, enlightened, and literally enlightened. And what I think that brings most of these energies into our living environment are these two lights of the soul. I think that that nature supports us with her energies, and she has no choice. She has to support our good efforts and our ill efforts. It's universal law. We have free will. Nature doesn't. And nature is a living force, a living intelligence. It's not just the birds and the trees and the flowers and all that. So when we say sincere prayers or we want to do things in our lives, nature supports us with these energies. So if we get passionate about something, very passionate about something, nature sends in more energies. Our two lights of the soul brighten up, and then we imprint those energies in time and space. Or either we change the charge of an underground stream if we happen to be standing in the energy of a stream, or something like that. And if it's a negative emotion, intense emotion like hate, anger, jealousy, rage, we imprint negative energy. And if it's a positive, loving, joyful emotion, we imprint positive, beneficial energy. And this is what I think most dowsers are finding when they find detrimental and beneficial energies, especially when they're in our living environment.
It's wonderful having you on the show this week. By the way, if you just turned on your radio to KVMR 89.5 FM in Nevada City, our guest is Joey Korn, and we're talking about dowsing. He's written a book called Dowsing, A Path to Enlightenment. He also has a website, dowsers.com, and there's lots of neat stuff on the website and in his book. And one of the reasons I'm saying it's neat to have you on the show today, Joey, is our last guests were Stephen Lewis and Evan Slauson, and they wrote a book called Sanctuary, a Path to Consciousness. And in their book and in their work that they talk about, they use a galvanic response meter where they take a little probe and they put it on the inside of your thumb, and it goes beep, you know, if the skin galvanic.
It's sort of like a mini biofeedback.
Yeah, it's like a mini biofeedback, but it's just one point they use on the thumb. And they have a computer with a screen, and on the screen are a bunch of grids, and each grid will have like the name of a disease or something like that. And they'll go through these various screens and work on the person's thumb, and they'll find out all kinds of things. It's basically dowsing, if you want to look at it that way, but using the person's galvanic skin response as a yes or no, they'll find out various things about that person's health. And then to treat the person, they will sort of reverse the process. They will put good intent or good thoughts or good prayers. We were talking about that on the show about prayer back in to counteract those negative things that are in the person. And they do it very technologically with a computer. And what we're talking about is more like my thinking that you don't need a computer. You don't need any kind of mechanical anything. It's really the prayer and the intent, the thought that changes the energies.
Exactly right. In fact, I told you about different techniques dowsers use to block or neutralize these energies. I believe if they did the same things without intent, it wouldn't happen. The intent is what does it. If you're familiar with feng shui, the intent behind the work in feng shui to change what's bad qi into good qi, it's the intent that does it. Not necessarily the act of hanging, not the crystal that you hang. It's the intent behind the ritual that if I hang this and you say a prayer or whatever to charge, to do the changing, that's what I really think happens. And I think every time you say a sincere prayer for anything, energies change around you, within you and around you.
But again, it has to be, especially if we're praying for others, it has to be with their permission.
Yeah, a lot of people, dowsers who are, well, first of all, you see, I believe in permission, and you can ask the permission of higher self with dowsing, but also, with my prayer, I feel that even if I didn't get permission, the prayer takes care of it, because I start it with, if it be thy will, and what I'm saying with my intent in there is if it's not the will of the one and for the mutual good of all concerned, don't even do anything, you know? And then I go through the prayer, and I call on nature to change the energies, and then I close my prayer with for now and into the future for as long as is appropriate. And I'm always leaving those opportunities. You know, I let nature decide what's actually best and whatever is appropriate.
Larry Dossey gives an example of a writer who was a failure in his writing, and he found out after 10 years of trying to write and get published and having nothing published, that his mother was very much against him being a writer, and she was a member of a fundamentalist church, and every Sunday she had her church prayer group praying that he would fail at writing and get a decent job. And so
I haven't heard that one. I laugh, but it's sad.
Yeah, but I mean, saying that's the idea of permission. If, let's say, a person's karmic load in this life is to, let's say, develop some type of a chronic disease or something that will allow him to work off some previous debts or learn something in this life, and let's say a bunch of people did some distant healing or prayer for that person, and it really wasn't in that person's best interest to get rid of that disease,
right.
It might not be good.
What I tell people is that if you pray without judgment, if you pray, do your healing with, as a spiritual healer, our purest work is without judgment. And what I tell people, healing for this person might mean death. In other words, I turn it over to nature and to the universal one, and I just ask that whatever is appropriate happen to bring healing and balance to this being. And to this person's being, and then I just let it happen and be non-attached. Try to not be non-attached to the results. You mentioned karmic patterns. These energies that I told you that we imprint in our living environment that can be found with dowsing, mm-hmm. that I feel like are really from what I call the two lights of the soul.
Uh-huh.
I think that this is our karmic pattern, that we record everything we think, say, and do electrically in time and space, and the strongest of these electrical patterns can be found with dowsing, and I think that's how we leave our karmic pattern, with the detrimental energies that we bring into this with negative thinking, and the beneficial energies that we bring in with joyful, loving thoughts and emotions. And what I find is that we get in energetic ruts, and like you say, somebody might need a certain disease. What we do is we bring in, with our thinking, with our emotions, with our actions, and with our prayers, we set up energies within our living environments. If we do enough negative thinking, these detrimental energies not only stay there, but they keep us in, like I say, what I call an energetic rut. A properly worded prayer can free us of that rut and can change the pattern in our living environment. And amazing things can happen. And the most important place to have good beneficial energies is in and around your bed. When I say in your bed, around your bed, because you spend a third of your life in bed sleeping. And I find a definite pattern of energies that come into beds, beams of light that intersect at the beds, and they can be beneficial or detrimental. Most of them are beneficial. And again, we don't want, if we have detrimental energies from streams around going under our bed, or the energy would actually go through the bed, then we want to change that. But when we say pray appropriately for things to come into our lives, whether it be healing, financial abundance, relationship changes, whatever it might be, creative thinking, the dowsable energies change around your bed, that you can find these changes in the patterns. More beneficial energies come in. Detrimental change to beneficial. And again, amazing things happen.
I'll tell you a story about that. There's a fellow here in our area named Tom DeNio. His parents owned an auction called DeNio's Auction. It's always advertised, very famous place around here. And Tom had a malignant melanoma, which he finally died from. And I went out and I doused his house, and he mentioned, or his wife mentioned to me, you know, it's funny that you're coming out and dousing this house. I think there is something funny about this house. The last three people that have lived here have died of cancer. And I went into his bedroom, and the bedroom was literally no bigger than the bed. You could barely get out of the bed and touch the wall. They had a big bed and a very small bedroom, so there was nowhere to move the bed in the room. And I doused around the outside of the house, and there were two very, very strong underground water veins going right underneath the house. And I followed him into the house, and where they crossed was underneath his left groin, and that's where the melanoma had started up and metastasized to. The crossing was exactly under the spot where the melanoma was on his leg. And it couldn't have been more amazing, because the guy couldn't move his bed. He couldn't sleep anywhere else in the bed except where it was in the room, and where the veins crossed, there was where his tumor was that finally killed him.
You know, I had somebody come to a very similar story, but... You know, I have a little problem, Haynes, with us being... See, I believe that as spiritual beings, we have free will. And I have a little problem with us being at the mercy of energies, the earth energies that might kill us, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think that we help create that. And I really believe it, we create our own reality. Well, I had a person come in Florida to a two-day workshop I did. And then the first day, I told them about all these energies. I taught everybody how to find the detrimental energies and the beneficial energies. But he was in remission. They had told him he was going to die, and he just changed his life and went into remission and had been in remission for several months. And he came back the next morning, a Sunday morning, for the second day of the workshop, and he said, Joey, I doused the energies around my bed, and I found something very interesting. I found two detrimental lines intersecting exactly where my prostate or my colon would be. I forget which cancer he had. And intersecting right there. And I said, well, you know, that's what people say. That's why they call them Krebs crossings, cancer crossings. And he said, but Joey, I got the cancer at our other house. We've since, after where I went into remission, we moved into this house that I'm in now. So do you see what I'm getting at? Somehow something in his life was creating those energies, was bringing in those energies. Something in his thinking, in his action, in his karmic pattern was bringing in those detrimental energies. And then when he moved from one house to another,
the energies
he brought
them
into the second bed.
Yeah.
The cancer was coming back because they were forming back in his new bed. And by understanding this process, he was able to change that with prayer.
And so would you say one prayer treatment or one intent treatment on these lines would work to remove them from around your bed?
Yeah, they don't remove. We change the charge to be beneficial.
So you would...
Basically, you could just say a sincere prayer. So if there's any beneficial detrimental energies around my bed that affect me affect my health physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, God, please change them to be beneficial and bring in new beneficial energies for that to happen, you know, to support me in my life, and that those changes will come. Now, I find that the pattern will stay changed until somebody does something to change them back. Negative thinking, intense anger or intense negative emotions will bring in those negative energies, because again, we're imprinting our two lights. And so being aware of this makes a big difference in our lives.
Those two lights of the soul, the positive energy lines that you can douse on a person's body, where do you usually find those entering the body or leaving?
I find them entering like horizontally. They'll intersect somewhere. They always intersect. See, when two lines intersect, it creates a vortex. If you douse a human energy field, you'll find, and you do enough research like I did with it, you'll find that a human energy field, a plant energy field, an animal energy field is a vortex. And so these two lights are actually intersecting us, intersecting our being, creating our spiraling, vortexing energy field. So I find they intersect somewhere, and that's a good question, somewhere typically between the neck, below the neck, and above the lower abdomen. Somewhere between the lower abdomen and the neck is where they intersect. And they always come in symmetrically. If they come in at a certain angle to one side of the body, they'll kind of come in at the same angle to the other. If they come in straight to the center of our body, straight ahead of, you know, like intersecting us perpendicularly, the other line will be at a right angle coming in and going through the side. And what I have found, I'm Jewish, by the way, but I've found reference to this, I'm sure that this is what it is. When you see Christian icons, Catholic icons of Jesus, and you see the halo around his head, you'll often see a cross that looks like it's behind his head. You've seen that,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Yeah, and we typically think, oh, that's the cross. Well, we know he wasn't nailed through the head. And I think that's a representation of the two lights of the soul that each of us has. The difference with us and his is that the two lights in all the Christian icons of Jesus are intersecting at the head, at the third eye, cosmic consciousness. I've checked many, many people, and I haven't found anybody yet that intersect at the third eye.
So most people have, like, coming in from the back, like wings, or most...
Yeah, well, it would, like, intersect... Let's say it came in at an angle diagonally, let's say, to about your heart on one side of your body.
Uh-huh.
And the other one would come in diagonally just the same, you know, on the other side of your body, intersecting, let's say, on the right side of your chest instead of the left.
Uh-huh.
If it were coming into your abdomen, it would be symmetrical, and that is what I find. And every prayer, a different prayer, will change the alignment. It's really amazing. It's really fascinating stuff. And everybody that attends my workshops, I teach to find these energies right away, and they can find them.
Well, Carlos Castaneda says that we're basically composed of luminous fibers of energy, and those fibers go out and connect us with everything else in the universe, and that where the fibers come in is where our attention is. It's the assemblage point where we assemble this fibrous matter that comes in as lines of energy, and how we perceive these lines of energy is how we deal with the world. So I'm wondering if these would be analogous to the same kind of fibers of energy that are coming and going from us.
I think it's very, very analogous. I study Castaneda and the teachings of Don Juan in the 70s, and that's when I began, when I learned that with dowsing, much later I learned with dowsing we could find power spots, what Don Juan would call places of power. You know, that was really exciting to me, and but I think it's exactly analogous to that. It's how we relate to the world and how we connect to each and every other being in the world and every other thing in the universe, because where these two lights intersect, creating our spiraling energy field, that spiraling energy field, which can be doused, extends into infinity. So at some point, all of our spiraling energy fields extend into infinity and merge with each other. That's why when you think of yourself being in a different place, when you imagine yourself somewhere else, a portion of your consciousness concentrates there. And goes there, and that's part of how distant healing works, in my opinion.
So to get negative energies out of your life, or whatever you consider a negative energy, just the intent and prayer will do it. And
right.
How about the positive energies, these lights of the soul? If you want to increase that, can you increase it and keep it increased, or is that a daily or hourly effort?
First of all, some people I find their two lights. By the way, these two lights of the soul, don't forget, they can be negative or positive. They can be, because when we think of, when we have a passionate negative emotion, anger, fear, jealousy, rage, we imprint negative light. Mother Nature feeds us with negative energy, and so it can be either way. And that's why it's important to watch our thinking and our attitudes. But what was the question?
It's basically, how would you increase the light of the soul in somebody?
Okay, some people's two lights, I find, are always dowsable. They're always bright enough to douse. And if they're not, most people's aren't. Most people's two lights aren't. But I can say a little prayer and asking the energies come in to bring healing and balance to this person's being, or that person can say the prayer for themselves, and they'll light up. If you remember when I did at the end of the talk in Phoenix, Subtle Energy Conference, I said a prayer to bring energies to each individual person, exactly what you needed in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
And me and the other dowser, Gary Skillen, I and the other dowser, I'm a writer, I should speak better than that, we went around, if you remember, and everybody had two lights, two beams of beneficial energy intersecting them. That was the two lights of the soul. So a little prayer, especially if your consciousness, I mean, if you're conscious of the fact that it involves energy, and you ask nature, you ask God, to whatever you consider the deity to be, you ask energies to come in to bring what you want into your life, they will not only brighten, but they'll intersect at a certain place as to your intent. Like you said earlier about Castaneda, they come in as to your intent, and they'll change. Every little prayer, every thought you make changes these energies.
Well, a good question that it's good because I have no clue about the answer to it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those permanent questions, is if good prayer and good intent and good living is rewarded by something good in your life. Why isn't everybody that has these kind of bright lights of the soul, who's praying and doing what they're supposed to do, why aren't those people winning the lotto every day? Why are their lives sometimes so miserable?
Well, we talked about karma again earlier. Sometimes, and that we might need to have a certain disease or a certain thing to gain karma, to grow karmically. We can't always see the wisdom behind everything. We look at things in the short term. And, you know, and a good question to, I mean, a good way to relate that is, you know, my father was a Holocaust survivor. He spent 5.5 years in 8 different concentration camps and 2 Nazi ghettos in Nazi Europe. And he was a wonderful, I've published his memoirs, by the way. I've had them published, Abe's Story, a Holocaust Memoir.
Right.
And the, you know, he was an amazingly good man. And there were many good, good people who were tortured and killed in the Holocaust for no other reason than their heritage or their beliefs. But I have to believe on a higher level that even these people needed to experience that. So sometimes we just need to experience stuff. And I believe that my father, for example, he was very young when the war started. He was 16 on the first day of the war. I believe that when he incarnated, his higher self knew the probability that he would end up going through that. I think that's very...
Or may have even chosen this life in order to experience that.
Absolutely. And I think part of my purpose in life was to get his story out. Is to get his story out, which is, you know, something else. It's like my other writing and speaking life on the Holocaust.
If somebody wanted to get a hold of Abe's story, how would they do that?
Same way. Dowsers.com. Joey@Dowsers.com.
And your phone number for the books is 706-733-0204.
Right. And this is, I work out of my home, so my kids might answer or something. Just ask to speak to Joey. I also have a fax number, 706-736-2549.
2549, that's the fax. And say that number one more time.
706-736-2549.
Sometimes we get callers, and we've had 2 while you've been talking. Neither wanted one to be live on the air. Caller, would you like to be live on the air?
I just wanted to ask Mr. Korn if he might possibly have any plans to be coming out this way and visiting our area.
Yes.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm glad you asked that. The Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz, how close is that to you?
Santa Cruz is about 3.5 hours drive.
Well, that's close enough to be very worthwhile attending. It's from July 2nd through July 7th. It's one of the best dowsing conferences in the country. I go every year. I'll be giving 2 talks there, one I call Tools for Empowerment, and the second will be the 2 Lights of the Soul.
And if somebody wanted to go to that Dowsers Conference.
Another number, right?
Yeah, another number.
Well,
sorry.
I've got information in my website on how to contact them, but a number to call for that would be 831-484-7314. And I'll also, I'll be there for the entire time, and I'll also be available. I don't have a workshop scheduled with this conference because it's such a long conference, and I'll be traveling so much of that during that time. But I will be available for one-on-one, what I call spiritual house cleaning services, which is where I actually teach people to do what I do. It's a 2-hour intensive of my all-day workshop. It's actually a coaching service.
Spiritual house cleaning services.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do windows?
Remotely, even.
Remotely, yeah. We started off talking about Walter Russell, and you mentioned the best book about him to start with if you're learning about Walter.
The Man Who Tapped the Secrets of the Universe.
By Glenn Clark. And that's also available from you.
Yes.
Most people still don't understand dowsing. And dowsing, I'm just going to explain what my idea of dowsing is. Dowsing basically is some type of physical response to a yes or no question. And the physical response sometimes is so subtle that we don't perceive it ourselves. And so we hold on to a pendulum or a dowsing rod or a stick or some object that will manifest subtle muscular energy in ourselves so that people think, well, they don't believe in dowsing. So they think, what kind of force could move the dowsing rod? Well, the answer is it's your own self that moves the dowsing rod. Little muscles in your wrists or hands move the dowsing rod. But it's not done on a conscious level. You're not saying to yourself, okay, now I'm going to make them move. It's they're moving all right in response to subtle muscular movements you're making, but you're not consciously trying to make them.
That's exactly right. These energies, and even yes and no has an energy to it. Yes, it has a different energy than no. These energies affect our bodies, even though they're very, very subtle. We might not necessarily feel it. But what we're really doing is training our bodies to give us a certain response. We're externalizing our own energy, the changes in our bodies, to the rods or to the pendulum. And by the same token, you can very easily learn to douse with just your hands and arms, because we are the dowser. Then you internalize the dowsing response.
Right, and you can even make a little meter in your head, like a yes, no, a right, left, up, down, something like mm-hmm. that, and just visualize the meter as it moves, you know, a visualization without any kind of physical response.
Yeah, the one thing that seems to blow that theory, though, Haynes, and this is something that baffles me, when you use the old traditional dowsing stick rod, which is the forked stick from a tree.
Right.
And you hold that thing right, it will pull down to the earth when you get over water.
I've experienced that.
Where it will tear the bark off the branch. You cannot hold it up.
I've experienced that.
So, you know, that sort of puts an added little mystery to it. But you're right. It is within us. We're the dowser. The tools are merely extensions of us. We are the dowsers.
So it boils down to what question you ask. If you're going to get a yes or no answer, it boils down to being very, very precise about the question.
You're absolutely right.
So learning to douse is basically learning logic, learning how to ask a yes-no question that's logically correct, so that you're not asking a question that's ambivalent or you get some kind of a bad response because the question was asked poorly.
Right, and even when working with the energies, by the way, I call it working with the light. Working with these energies, if we only get what we ask for. For example, if you find a detrimental stream or a detrimental line of energy, and you ask that energy be neutralized, guess what?
It'll be neutralized.
It becomes neutralized. It's not beneficial. If you simply ask that it be changed to be beneficial, it becomes beneficial. It's like I said, the amazing thing about this system that I've developed is it gives you immediate validation of the power of prayer and helps you understand this whole process that we're living, helps you understand some of the universal laws that we're living under.
Well, it just goes to prove to everybody that we are all interconnected, and we are all, the power of our beliefs is so powerful that it can change our reality instantly, and like you say, you can test for it.
Absolutely.
Joey, it's been wonderful having you on the Earth Mystery Show. The hour goes by very quickly. I'm going to give your website one more time, dowsers.com. Your phone number one more time for the book orders is 733-0204.
And 706 area code.
706 area code, that's right. And your book is Dowsing, Path to Enlightenment. I thought it was a great book, by the way. That's why you're on the show, among other reasons.
You.
And the Dowsers Conference in Santa Cruz is July 2nd to 7th. That is a wonderful event. And a number to call for more information about that is 831-484-7314. And thanks so much for being on the Earth Mystery Show.
Thanks for having me on your show.
Okay. Good to talk to you. Goodbye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Hayes. Bye.
Joey gave a demonstration of that technique that he was talking about live at that subtle energy conference in Phoenix. And it was very impressive. You know, you can really see the energy in the room change in every person in the room. You could see the energy change and feel it.